It is a good morning. If you would, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. This morning we're going to be talking about a little bit of a love letter. We like to get love letters, right? Hopefully from your spouse or the appropriate person. If not, we have counseling for that. So, love letters are great. We're going to be using an outline this morning. They're in the bulletin, so if you had a bulletin, you should find the outline in there. If not, there are some extra on the seats in the back, so if you need one, just raise your hand. I'm sure someone will graciously pick one up for you. So, I will leave that to you to find. We are going through the book of Romans. We started 3 weeks ago. Pastor Jerry preached an introduction 3 weeks ago, and I opened last week with the salutation, which is Paul's way of simply saying, I'm Paul, I wrote this letter. But being Paul, the apostle that he is, he didn't just say, I'm Paul, I wrote the letter. He gave us a very deep theological introduction, talking about himself as an apostle and a bondservant and of Jesus Christ and how he loves these people and he wants to preach the gospel. And with that opening of the salutation of, I am a servant of Jesus Christ, he now rolls into this section that I'm calling a love letter, because we're going to see that Paul loves these people in Rome, and we're going to see that today. I want to talk to you about love letters this morning. I told my wife I was going to pick on her today, which is not true. I'm not going to pick on her. I'm just going to talk about her. So when I went into the military many years ago, it's been 20 years, believe it or not, almost to the month, 20 years ago, I went off to basic training, very hard, you know, couple of months there. My wife went to a very hard place called Belgium in Europe. I got to eat MREs and chow, and she got pastries and milkshakes. I got to march every morning. She got to walk the cobblestone streets of Charleroi. Is that correct? Great. And no, I do not speak French. You should have seen me trying to call from the payphone, trying to talk to her. She was on a student exchange program trying to say, hello, this is Clint from the U.S., and I got her host family, and they're like, what? Okay, so before I left, I wrote my wife a series of letters. You know, on day number 7, open this letter. On day number 8, open that letter. On day number 12, open that letter. I think when I got to, like, day number 20, I just started skipping days because it was getting difficult. So she would open them, and then she in turn would write letters to me, and I loved to get those letters. She would always use a brown envelope. I don't know why brown. I guess because she bought them at the store. That's right. I knew that. There was sentimental value to the brown envelope. I knew exactly what it meant. And it would always, she would put perfume on them and everything. And so I loved to get those letters. And I cherished those letters. Now, I could not see Belgium, and she could not see what I was going through. She would write me saying, today I did something awesome. We slept in, and we went walking. It was great. And I said, today I got up at, I don't even know what time it was. It was dark, and I marched. And she would write letters to me, oh, it was so great. We got to go to the park. And I would say, we didn't. We got yelled at and said things I can't repeat. But I cherished those letters. I loved those letters. And I couldn't see her, she couldn't see me, but I longed to get back to where I could see her again and be with her. And I think about that this morning, and Paul longed for the people of Rome. He could not be there at this point in history when he wrote this particular letter. He was not there. We don't know how much he had been there, if at this point he had been there at all. Perhaps he had been there. We don't know. He would eventually go there, and without spoiling the whole book of Romans too much, Paul would eventually go to Rome, and that would be his last journey on this earth, as far as we know. But Paul wanted to go there. He was longing to go there. It was all future at this point for him. So he was writing, I believe, a love letter, at least in this little portion of the book of Romans, about these people. And we're going to see this morning what this love letter is. We're going to see that it contains a praise to God for their faith. It contains prayers for them and prayers for a visit. It also contains the plans that he made. Praise for their faith, prayers to come and visit them, and plans to come and visit them. Without further introduction, let's jump into the first section. Verse 8, a praise for your faith. Paul is excited about these people that he's writing this love letter to. We're going to see Romans verse 8, a praise for their faith. He wants to see their faith. A praise for their faith. First importance. This is Paul, the first thing he's really said yet. Because all he's done so far is said, I'm Paul, I'm writing you a letter. Number one important thing Paul on the earth wants to say to these people. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the whole world. When Paul sat down to pen this letter, after he said, hello, my name is Paul, I'm writing you a letter, the number one thing God put on his heart to write, I thank God for you. I thank God for your faith. Now let me tell you everything else I have to say. He praises these people for their faith being proclaimed throughout the whole world. He directs this praise to God through whom? Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Proclaims his faith to God through Jesus Christ, and he says, your faith has gone throughout the whole world. Now, certainly he didn't mean that their faith at that point in time had made it to the tip of South America or had made it to Australia. Paul had no knowledge of those places. But the world around him that he knew of, he says, you people in Rome, you believers, you've already spread your faith abroad. Now, we don't know how it went out. We know that they didn't have email, of course. They didn't have television. So however they carried it by manual means. But this new church in Rome, we don't know who started it. Paul probably didn't start it. But somebody started a church there. Someone took the gospel there. And these believers are already spreading the faith around the known world. And Paul says, thank you, God, for what you are doing, telling people in the world about Jesus Christ. Now, as I'm preaching today, I'm going to stop and take and step back into modern day. So first thing we're going to do, talking about this praise of their faith, we're going to ask about us today. These people, they spread the gospel through their manual means. They had to walk it somewhere. They had to tell somebody with their mouth, no other means. They had to maybe go to great expense to purchase paper and pen to write a letter. And they had to make sure it was manually carried somewhere. They had to do it in the midst of a pagan, godless world that might cost them something. And yet, this new church said, yes, we'll do that. Amen. And Paul praised them for it. And here we sit today, nearly 2,000 years later. And I ask, if Paul wrote a letter to Dallas Baptist Church today, what would he say about us? And I don't say that to chastise us. I mean, what would he say? I think he would say, yes, you're spreading the gospel. Would he say, Dallas Baptist Church, you're spreading the gospel through your own personal efforts to your friends and family and neighbors? Praise God for that. Would he say, Dallas Baptist Church, your life groups that meet every week in different homes and in this church building in different places, you are spreading the gospel by inviting people to come to your life groups? Thank you, God. Would he say that through your mission endeavors, by giving to your Christmas offering and your Easter offerings and your other offerings during the year, you are spreading the gospel around the globe through Dallas Baptist Church? Praise God for that. I would say he would definitely say, praise God, we are doing that. And then I think he would challenge us to keep doing it around the world. A little church in the back mountain of Pennsylvania. Spread the gospel to the world. So here Paul praises these people for spreading the gospel. He now is going to move into a section where he prays for them. And he has many wonderful things to say about their prayers. Let's pick up reading in verses 9 through 12 and see how he prays for these people in Rome. Verse number 9. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you. Always in my prayers making request, if perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you, while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. We'll stop there in the reading. So Paul has praised them for their faith. And now Paul tells us he prays for these people. And Paul knows them very well, right? No. Paul knows these people, right? He's been there. He's spent time with them. He's got a lot of good reasons to pray for them, right? A lot of good reasons, but he doesn't know them that well. We don't even know if he's even been to Rome yet. Maybe he has. Maybe he hasn't. Chances are, at this point in history, he probably hasn't been there much. But instead of allowing obscurity to hinder his prayers, he says, I pray unceasingly for you. And Paul only has Rome to pray for, right? He's not involved in the church at Colossae. He's never involved in Galatia. He has nothing to do with Ephesus or Corinth or Thessalonica or all the other places that we can't pronounce that he traveled around to. He's got plenty of time to pray, right? The only focus he has are the people in Rome. Right? No. No. And oh, he's not getting persecuted or anything. He's not busy traveling around. He's got email. You can let me email you real quick and tell you, I love you. Jesus loves you. I prayed for you. Amen. This is a busy man under stress with a lot of people on his mind. And he says, I pray for you unceasingly. How did he do that? Carve out 5 hours a day for this? I bet you he did it while he was on the go. I bet you when he was on the move from here to there, he prayed. I bet you when he had a chance to stop, he prayed. I bet you when he laid his head down at night, he prayed. I bet you he got up early and he prayed. He prayed as he went every day. And he says, amidst life, busyness, I prayed unceasingly for you. He says in verse 10, I make requests and God is my witness, he says. God is his witness. Always, in verse 10, always in my prayers making requests, if perhaps now at last by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. You see, Paul wants to go to Rome. He wants to go to Rome. It's his desire. But he realizes in verse 10, it's got to be God's will. His desire is not questionable. His desire is certainly pure, but it has to be God's time. And Paul wants to go. It's like his focus. It's like he's got that in his sights, and that's what he thinks about often. I've got to get to Rome. But it has to be God's will. It has to be God's time. It has to be in God's permission. You see, even though Paul's a great apostle, and Paul's been given great power, and Paul's been given great authority, and Paul was even used of God to raise the dead and to cast out demons, even the great and mighty apostle Paul is bound by the will of God and God's time. And he says, I want to come to you in God's time. He says in verse 12, verse 11, I long to see you. Just like I used to long to get those letters from my wife. I long to get out of here and to see you. Because basic training was kind of terrible. No, it wasn't that bad. So I long to see you. I want to be with you. I love you people. He doesn't even know them that well. He just knows he loves them. He longs to be with them. Why? What does he want to give them? Verse 11, encouragement, a spiritual gift. He's not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. That's not his to give. He's talking about, he tells us, I want to encourage you. That's his to give. I want to come to you to encourage you. And why would they need to be encouraged? Well, first of all, they're human beings. Everybody needs to be encouraged. They live in Rome. And Rome is such a welcoming place for Christians, right? I mean, they roll the red carpet out. I mean, who was it that authorized ultimately the death of Christ? It was the Romans. I mean, the people that wanted him dead had to get permission to kill him. These people need encouragement. They're a new, struggling church, perhaps. Paul wants to go there and help them, stand them up on their feet, encourage them, maybe start some new churches because Rome's a big place with millions of people coming and going throughout the year. Tens of thousands of residents live there. It's a major city. He wants to go there. I long to see you so I can encourage you and so that he can also be encouraged. It's the blessing of ministry both to be the encourager but also to be encouraged. It's one of my favorite things in writing sermons is I get so much out of it myself. I'm sorry to be so greedy, but I love to study and dig into God's word. And Paul is saying, I want to come encourage you, and I also get encouraged from that. Amen. I want to come to Rome. Let's stop for a moment. Bring back the Dallas Baptist Church in May 19th, 2013. When you're separated from Dallas, when you're separated from your church back in New York, when you're separated from the believers that God has put in your life, do you long for those people? Do you say, God, I want to be back with my brothers and sisters? God, I need encouragement. God, I got to encourage them. When you hear about young Ernie getting his finger cut this morning, don't you want to rush out the door and go to him? Yes, you do. And if you need to, go. Don't even wait. Just go. Do you long for them? Do you pray unceasingly for people in your life group? Do you pray unceasingly for people in your youth group? Do we pray unceasingly for people that just come to church with you? Do you pray unceasingly? Because Paul said, amidst all my busyness, amidst all my struggles, amidst all the balancing of all these other churches, I pray unceasingly for the people in Rome before my God and my Savior. Do you long to be reunited every week with the people of your church? Amen. You should. And aren't we so easy to love? Aren't we? I mean, goodness gracious. It's great, isn't it? That's awesome. It is awesome, but I heard once that the church is kind of like, maybe you've heard this, I didn't write this, I give credit to whomever wrote this, but I read in a book sometime that loving each other at the church is kind of like porcupines. I may have shared this with you before, so if I have, I'll share it again. I won't even charge you the second time. Porcupines, when they, you know, imagine porcupines when they get cold, they huddle together to get warm, and what do? They poke each other. The church is kind of like that. The closer we get to each other, the more we kind of needle each other. We need each other, we needle each other, right? So whoever wrote that, you get the credit for that. Paul loves these people, and it's not always easy. So Paul wants to come. Paul, in the next section, verses 13 through 15, he's praised them for their faith. He's been praying, dear God, I love these people. I want to go see them. I want to be with them and help them. And now we see that Paul, in verses 13 through 15, he plans to go to Rome. He's a man of action. I'm going to go to Rome. In God's time, of course. But I'm going to go there. Paul's going to have some obstacles. Nevertheless, he's obligated to go, as we'll see. And Paul's rather obsessed about it in a good way. Let's read verses 13 through 15, see about his plan. Paul's plan to go. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Paul wants to go to Rome. Paul identifies himself with these people that he barely knows in verse 13 as brothers. I barely know you. Perhaps I've never seen you. Perhaps I've only seen you a little. I certainly don't know much about you, but you're my brother and sister in Jesus Christ, and I want to come to you. He does not want his brothers and sisters to have any false understanding of why he has not come. He does not leave them hanging out there like, perhaps we cancel a date, or perhaps we don't make something and there's confusion. And we try to settle that, right? And if we don't, it creates problems. If we don't talk about it and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't make it. And Wendy and I were doing that this morning. We missed an appointment we had. But it's okay, we settled, everything's fine. But if we don't settle things, sometimes it creates problems. And Paul says, I don't want you to be unaware. I don't want you to get any rumors, any bad thoughts, have any wrong feelings that somehow I have done something wrong by not coming. I want you to know, my brothers, I want to come. But I've been hindered. Even the great, mighty apostle Paul can be hindered. Why do you think he was hindered? You think God said it's time yet? When Paul does go to Rome, when he really truly, not just visits there, but when he really truly gets there, he's not coming back. I think God says, it's not time for you yet, Paul. Because when you do go to Rome, when you do really truly go there, you're not coming back. You're being hindered. Your will to serve God is great and honorable and noble. But God says, no, not right now. Not for this moment. Paul wants to go. He wants to give them fruit. I said this morning the apostle Paul's a fruity man. He likes to have fruit. If you go back and read some, Paul said, I want to plant in places that other people have not already planted. I don't want to go to the church that's already been established and go there. I want to go where no one started a church yet. Now, someone started a church in Rome. Okay, that's a freebie. But Rome's a big place. There's plenty of work to do. Paul says, I want to go there. I want to plant some fruit among you. He says in verse 14, it's not just that I want to do it, verse 14, I am under obligation. Amen. In the opening of the chapter we read last week, Paul says, I am a bond servant of Jesus Christ. I am an apostle chosen by God, set apart for what purpose? What was Paul's purpose? Preach the gospel to whom? The Gentiles. Peter focused more on the Jewish need. Paul was called by Jesus Christ and specifically told by Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, you're going to the Gentiles. And where is Gentile Mecca located? Rome. Rome is the place. Rome is the power. Rome is the political place. It's the economic place. It is the military place. It is the Washington, D.C. and beyond of its day. It is the place. And Paul says, I've been called to the Gentiles. I'm going to the top. I want to go there. I am obligated by God. Not unwillingly, but willingly. I want to go to Rome because I am obligated. He says, I'm obligated to the Greek and the non-Greek. Do Greeks live in Rome? I thought they lived in Athens. What was the most powerful empire in the world before Rome? Greece. Now, not counting China. China was out there doing its thing as well. But in this part of the world, it was Greece. Alexander the Great, remember him? He stormed across Asia, conquering everybody in his path. Nobody stopped him until he died. He died, his empire broke apart. And who adopted the Greek culture? The Romans. They adopted the language, they adopted some of their religion. I mean, it was already there. Just pick it up and run with it. And they built their empire on that. So when Paul says, I'm obligated to the Greek and the non-Greek, he's saying, I am obligated to preach the gospel to those of Rome who are Roman and to those who are Gentiles who are not Roman. I am obligated to preach to the wise and the unwise. He's not talking about, I think, smart and stupid. He's talking about those who are culturally wise, those who are culturally not wise. Paul is saying, I am obligated to Jesus Christ as a servant, to the cultural elite, to the cultural outcast, to the wise, to the foolish, to the dumbfounded, because they all need Jesus Christ. Amen. And Rome is where I want to go. And that's where you're at, and I love you, and I want to go there. Paul is quite obsessed with Rome, verse 15. Obsession can be a bad thing, but obsession can be a good thing. You can be obsessed with exercise and have good health. You can be like me and be obsessed with Dunkin' Donuts. I fund Dunkin' Donuts. I want you to know that. I keep them in business. If I stop going to Dunkin' Donuts, the industry will collapse. It is my responsibility to keep those people employed. The economy's bad. They need help. I'm obsessed with that. That's a bad obsession. I don't think so, but, you know, maybe I'm in denial. That's okay. So says my doctor. Paul was obsessed with getting to Rome. He's obsessed with preaching the gospel. And this is a good obsession in verse 15. So for my part, he says, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. I want to go there and preach the gospel to you people. Not the ones that are already saved. He wants to work with them. He wants to go there and reach the ones that haven't been saved. And he will one day go there. And I'm going to spoil the book because there's a lot to talk about. But one day Paul will get to Rome. And one day he will go all the way to the highest levels of Roman society and preach to the highest levels. He will go all the way up to the emperor himself. And he will do what God asked him to do. He will do that, but not now. Not at this point in history. He has a good obsession to do what God has asked him to do. He doesn't mention anything about the cost. He doesn't mention anything about the hardships. He doesn't mention anything about what it might cost him in regard to his own life one day to go there. He just says, I am obligated and I want to go and I'm eager in verse 15 to go. Eager to do it. Not just, well, you know, Jesus said I had to do it and there was that whole Damascus Road experience and there it was, big shiny light and I got blinded and what am I supposed to say to that? Yes, sir, I'll do it. You know, I'm going to Rome, ho-hum. I'm eager to do this. I want to do it. Paul was a busy man with many things to do. And God used some of that to hinder him, to stop him. It's not time, Paul. You write the letter because 2,000 years of Christian history requires that you write this letter. Then you can go to Rome. We benefit from it. But Paul did not allow his hindrance to stop him. He didn't say, well, if I can't go to Rome, then I don't want to have anything to do with it. If I can't go to Rome and preach the gospel, then I don't want to have anything to do with Romans at all. He didn't do that. I can't go right now, but I will pray for you. I can't come right now, but I will write to you. I can't come right now, but I will daily before Jesus Christ say it's time for me to go. And God says, hold on, hold on. Not yet. But keep that focus in sight. Don't lose it. Back to us today. Do we get busy with life? Children, work, school, cars break down, fingers get cut with lawnmowers. Do we get busy? Do we have things we want to do for God? God, I want to reach the masses and have them come to church. God, I want to start a big youth program and reach all the teens for Jesus Christ. God, I want to go out and graduate from school and be a great doctor for you. God, I want to tell my neighbor about Jesus Christ. And things get in the way. It's called life. Life gets in the way. And sometimes God says, no, not right now. Not that, not now. And we have a choice, like Paul. We can, like Paul, we can keep going and say, I may be hindered from my goal, but I'm going to keep going. Or I've been hindered and I stop. I will stop because something got in my way. Well, guess what? There's always something in the way. You know that. You're breathing. Life gets in the way of life, doesn't it? Don't quit. Keep focused on loving the body of Christ. Keep focused on reaching the lost. Keep determined, even if God hinders you or allows something else to hinder you. There's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. God wasn't ready for Paul to go to Rome because he would die there. And if he died there, he couldn't finish his mission. Don't quit. This love letter, we've seen this morning a love letter written by Paul to these people in Rome that he barely even knows. If I write a love letter to some woman I don't know, I guarantee you I'm going to be in trouble. Guarantee you. If I write a love letter to some woman I do know I'm going to be in trouble. If it doesn't have April Plyler's name on it. Paul didn't know these people, but he's writing a love letter to them. And we've seen this morning that he praises them for their faith. I love you people in Rome. I love you first of all because of Jesus Christ, and secondly because you're telling everybody else about Jesus. I love you for that. He says, I love you so much that I pray without ceasing for you. And I'm always making requests from God, to God, for you. And he says, I love you so much, I want to come to you. I long to see you. I'm eager to see you. I can't right now. But as a good person who loves someone and writes a letter says, I can't get there now, but I will not give up hope. I will come to you. Just like my wife and I, separated by thousands of miles a long time ago, her in Europe and me in wonderful, beautiful Fort Knox, Kentucky. Wonderful place. Great touristy things to do there too. I longed for her and she longed for me, and God said when things were done, it was time. You can come back together. But not for a while, we didn't. Praise for their faith, prayers to come visit them, plans to come visit them. A love letter by the Apostle Paul to the people of Rome whom he barely knew. But he knew them in Jesus, and that's enough. And we're going to be reading more about this love letter. We got a lot of sermons coming on the book of Romans. And it's not always going to be fun, and it's not always going to be pretty, and he's not always saying lovey-dovey things. Sometimes he says some pretty hard things. In fact, next week, Pastor has the wonderful joy of getting into the hard things. I don't have to do that. Ha ha. So, he gets to do the hard stuff. A love letter. Do you cherish the book of Romans? Do you cherish the Bible? Because the Bible is a love letter. Amen. Jesus Christ said, I love you so much, I will die to save you from hell. Amen. All I ask in return is you say, okay, I'll take it. He says, good, I love you. Do you cherish the people of Dallas Baptist Church just like Paul cherished the people of Rome? Do you cherish us? We're tall, we're short, we're skinny, we're not so skinny, we're young, we're old, we're rich, we're poor, we're ornery. Sometimes we don't show up when we're supposed to. All kinds of things about us. It's okay. Do we love each other? I hope so. Do you long for each other? Go love the people around you. Go love the people at your church. Go love those that know Jesus Christ and praise God for them. Where would you rather be this morning? Who would you rather be hanging out with this morning? Go pray unceasingly for the people around you, in your ministry, at your church. Those that know Christ, those that don't know Christ. Go pray for them. I don't have time to pray. Put the phone down and pray for them. Turn the TV off and pray for them. Take a bathroom break at work and pray for them. Walk as you're going to your car and pray for them. Turn the radio off in the car and pray for them. Pray unceasingly. Go with determination to join with these people again this week and let no hindrance stop you. Don't let hindrances stop you. What would have happened if Paul said, I can't get there? Oh, well. The book would have been shorter. The preaching service would have been great. Had a salutation and I can't come, see you later. That would have been awesome. We'd be done right now. You get the wrap up next week. How about that? I can't come. Sorry. My goodness, how many things we want to do for Jesus Christ and we just don't do it. Costs too much, takes too much time, too hard, too big of a mountain, too deep of a river. God, I can't do it. And God says, of course you can't. Of course you can't. What made you think you ever could in the first place? Don't let hindrances stop you loving people and doing things for Jesus Christ. A hindrance is nothing more than God's time. That's all. It's nothing more than God's time. He'll do it. We're going to pray now. Instrumentalists are going to come up, and while we're praying, they're going to start playing softly. And I'm not necessarily going to ask you to come forward. If you want to, you're certainly welcome to do that as we pray. But I'm just going to pray, and I want you to pray with me. And maybe this morning you need to think about loving people more. Maybe this morning you need to think about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you need to think about the people of Dallas Baptist Church, and you need to pray for them a little more. Maybe this morning you don't know Jesus Christ and you go, I don't know what you're talking about. This is weird to me. That's okay. Because you need Jesus. He died on the cross and paid for your sins. Your specific sins. He hung on a cross for you and thought about you on this day 2,000 years ago and said, I will pay every debt you have. All you got to do is accept it. So this morning, let's pray together. Think about it. You make whatever decisions you have to make this morning. Come forward, don't come forward, doesn't matter. Let's just pray together. Our great God, you love the people of Rome enough to send Jesus and the Apostle Paul to tell them. God, you love the people here as well. Would you help us this morning, dear Jesus Christ, to love each other? Would you help us this morning, dear God, to reach out to each other? Would you help us this morning to not let hindrances get in our way, because we certainly do? Would you help us to surrender to your Son, Jesus, today and quietly pray a prayer, Jesus, I love you and I need you to save my soul. And dear God, would you go with us this week and help us to come back together as we long for the fellowship that we have among each other? We thank you for the book of Romans. We thank you for the Apostle Paul. We thank you for this wonderful, awesome day. Souls that have been baptized in obedience to you. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.